Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
I can't resist this before we go to John Shannon. Cheb has texted the show. Bob, 70-plus million votes for Trump is an indication of the distinct lack of accessibility to quality education for the lower class. That's what Cheb says. As the U.S. educates its population, we'll continue to see red states turn purple. Most Americans aren't racist. They don't know any better, says Cheb. My response to that, CNN put this number out. 60% of Republicans voted for the Republicans based on economic concerns. 36% of Democrats voted for Democrats based on racial equality issues. 23% of Democrats voted for Democrats based on COVID handling. My point is, I think we need to understand that people vote for different reasons and accept it and not vilify it. That's kind of where I'm coming from. But, you know, these days it is what it is on that front. And I do want to mention, Ken has texted the show. Bob, just heard Mike Zanier. Broberg as a second/third pairing defenseman is both a surprise and a disappointment after everything I've heard about him so far. With all due respect to Mike, I hope he's wrong. Ken, I hope Mike's wrong, too. I mean, Mike's watched him in Sweden. Broberg has not lit it up offensively. People need to remember that Broberg is even 20 yet. I don't even know if he's 20. No, he can't be because he's going to be eligible for the World Juniors. So time will tell in that regard. One of the most open-minded guys I know who's worked for a long time in broadcasting. We'll have a lot to get to. We welcome back to the show, John Shannon. Hello, John. How you doing?
Good, Wolf. How are you?
Hey. I'll take Wolf because I found Wolf to be fairly neutral and John King to be exceptional. And that's my point is, like, I opened up with CCR today because one of the guys from CCR, Tom Fogarty, was born on this day in 1941.
John Fogarty.
Tom is his brother, the one that
that
passed away in 1990 from a blood transfusion. He died of complications from AIDS from a blood transfusion. And as you know, there's two brothers in a band that fought for years over sort of which direction. So if it happens in families, we can understand why. You know, there's the battle. By the way, you're a politically astute guy. Just we'll get to the hockey stuff in a second. But what did you? I kind of liked the messaging in Biden's speech. What about you?
Well, I think it was the only messaging he could do, quite frankly. I don't want to get too polarized in all this, but the reality is that there were 70 million people that voted for the Republican candidate. And you have to find a way to, if you claim to be the president of all the United States, you have to find a way to bridge the gap for some of those 70 million people. And that will be his biggest challenge.
Yeah, and we are tied to it because we're invariably tied to it.
Sure.
Right? Like and it can affect different parts of the country differently. Like, right?
Well, I mean, what's going to happen with Keystone? You know,
there you go. That's the big question.
It's interesting you say that. I mentioned it on our morning podcast with Bob McCowan. Nine of the top 10 television shows in Canada for the last six nights have been CNN News.
Right.
Nine of the top 10 programs. I mean, it's phenomenal the amount of interest on both sides. Well, obviously on the south side of the border, but on the north side of the border, the election has had. And it's in my opinion, too, what it's done is it has, whether you like it or not, it's reinvigorated people under the age of 30 to be involved in in democracy and elections, and that's not a bad thing.
No, and there's nothing wrong with having conversation. But with conversation should come understanding and a little bit of empathy.
We got to work on that part. So I heard an expert, a professor from Vanderbilt, say this the other night, actually on MSNBC, which I don't watch very often, and he said that the disagreement is the oxygen of democracy. And I wrote it down, actually, because when you think about it, you know the greatest aspects of democracy is the ability to talk about it,
right,
and resolve it. And, you know, and unfortunately, majority rules in democracy, that's 50.1% sometimes. And that's exactly what we have right now.
Yeah, well, it was interesting, and I thought, I'll be honest with you, I mean, I'm like, can NBC keep Clemson and Notre Dame? I'll flip back and forth between, I know you got five TVs in your house, but I was missing the second quarter of that game. It was maybe the biggest college game of the year, and that had big numbers too, by the way, just so you know, John, huge numbers in the States.
Yeah, almost 10 million people, huh?
What for Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
And what did I would have thought I would have had more than that.
No, 10 million. That's a big number for college football.
Yeah. What did the NBA Finals have in the States?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think they got kicked pretty good. They got kicked pretty good. Hey, at this time right now, there's the old saying, right? You got to go to the mouth of the lion, and it is a huge topic. And again, my whole thing is we got to work together. The smartest people I've ever met, John, in life, have always talked about building bridges and working together.
Yeah.
And the there's some people that thought they're really smart that have been incredibly narrow-minded in their scope. It just has befuddled me my entire life. Like, I've just kind of been in shock that that's the case. I want to talk. Yesterday was a tough day for Canadians on a couple different fronts. Alex Trebek passed away at the age of 80. Obviously, a Canadian broadcasting legend. And then a guy you know well and you worked with, a guy that many of us grew up watching, Howie Meeker, passing away at the age of 97. Now, I don't know if you knew Alex, but I know you worked with Howie. What can you tell us about your time with Howie?
Well, I'll tell you what, and for Oiler fans, in the early 80s, Howie was part of our broadcast crew. Howie was there in the intermissions during playoff series from 1980 to 1985, 1986 really, but 85 with the Stanley Cup championship against the Flyers. And Howie was a big part of what we did in Western Canada for that realm of that window of 80 to 85. Most Western Canadians saw Howie Meeker much more than they saw Don Cherry. Don Cherry was because there wasn't a doubleheader. There was a single game in East and West sometimes. And sometimes you saw Meeker and sometimes you saw Cherry. So Howie was the first personality on hockey broadcasting. And when I say personality, somebody who wasn't just, you know, pretty straight-laced, you know, button-down shirt, you know, black tie, dark blazer, or starting in the mid-70s, the baby blue blazer. Everybody was pretty straightforward. Howie was the first one that, you know, didn't stay in his lane and had opinion and was excitable and showed some personality. And, I truly believe he was the first of that ilk. I'm not sure. Eventually, I'm sure Don Cherry would have got on the air, but I'm not sure without Howie and the success that Howie had, that we didn't expand and try to find other personalities like Grapes to take advantage of it. Howie Meeker was a great hockey mind. Let's not forget, he has his name on the Stanley Cup four times as well as a player. He assisted on the famous Bill Barilko goal in 1951. He was a very good hockey player, but he was a better broadcaster. He had much more impact on the game in the studio, in the broadcast booth, in both in Canada and for a short period of time on NBC.
Now, here's something that most of our listeners would be stunned by, I would think, unless they've done the actual homework on this. Howie Meeker was a politician as well.
Yeah,
while he played. That's
27 years old, he was in the House of Commons. And then Red Kelly did it after him.
Right.
The interesting thing was that I used to talk to Howie a ton of times about politics and things like that. He was in the Progressive Conservative Party, and what happened was Major Smythe, the legendary Conn Smythe, the owner of the Maple Leafs, went to him and said, "I want you to run for politics." And it almost wasn't an option for him. It was the way that Smythe was trying to get his players to be involved in the community, and he thought that Howie had the DNA to be a politician.
And he was
a member of the opposition for, I believe, 4 years in Ottawa, and would commute, and Smythe would let him miss practice. Wouldn't let him miss games, would let him miss practice if the house was sitting.
You know what else is kind of interesting? I mean, just speaking of politics, he was born in Kitchener. And again, our listeners, many of them would be unaware of this. The initial name of the city
was not Kitchener, was it? It was Berlin, yeah.
And they changed it in 1915 or 1916 during the First World War.
Yeah. So, listen, the magic of Howie really came to light, Bob, during the Summit Series in 1972.
Yes.
And as much as he had done some work for Hockey Night in Canada, and Ralph Mellaby deserves credit for giving him that opportunity, the CBC and CTV agreed that Howie was good to be on both shows. And you have to give Johnny Esau and Gordon Craig, who was running CBC Sports at the time, and the guy who created TSN later, and Howie became a mainstay through that 8-game series, and with the amount of people watching, his stardom really grew exponentially during the Summit Series. And as you remember, or maybe you don't, I certainly do, he was very critical of Canada and the way Canada
Absolutely.
Played games at times. But then at the same time, by the time of the end of game eight, he was as happy as the rest of us. He was a patriotic Canadian. So, and then from then on, it was just a flight to stardom for Howie. Saturday nights, and then the telestrator that they brought over from curling to hockey. He used it so effectively, and he was still living in Newfoundland at the time. And then when he moved to the West Coast to Parksville, he became a mainstay on our Western broadcast that I started working on in 1979.
Yeah, my sister's in Parksville right now, a beautiful part of Canada. Just back to 72, John, my dad, who has since passed away, was a teacher. And I remember I was, six, and saying to him, "Are the Russians the bad guys and we're the good guys?" And my dad's like, no, you don't understand. This is just Canada versus Russia. We're cheering for Canada, but it's not good guys versus bad guys. And after halfway through game one, he looked at me and said, "Number 17 for Russia is really good."
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that was part of the thing with Howie is he was highlighting the fact of how the team play the Russians had, some of the individual skills that players like if I recall correctly, Yakushev was sort of like seen as the big Russian star, but Harlamov was the guy who lit it up.
No, it was the other way around. Harlamov was the real star, and Yakushev was the one who came to light during the series.
But wasn't Harlamov the guy that scored in game one, scored the two beautiful goals?
Not to detract from what Howie did, Harlamov came to the 72 series with a huge reputation. We didn't know very much about Alexander Yakushev at that point. We knew a ton about Valery Harlamov.
Now, was it Petrov, Harlamov, and Mikhailov? Was that the line?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And Howie was completely neutral. I thought at that time, was that fair that he was neutral and fair in his coverage?
I think that drove a lot of Canadians crazy. And again, that helped build his reputation that he would call a spade a shovel. And that he didn't mince words. And he used his vernacular, the golly gee whiz and the... and the Holy Mackinac. He had come from a generation where where exclamations like that were almost viewed as expletives, but he was able to use them and use them effectively, and that became part of his shtick.
Many fans obviously grew up with Howie. He was involved in Peter Puck as well.
No, he wasn't. I don't understand this. No, he
That's
wasn't.
That's good. That's good that you correct me on that. I thought he was.
He was. No. Peter Puck was a co-production between Hockey Night, NBC, and Hanna-Barbera.
Okay.
NBC and Scotty Connell are really the driving forces behind it. Hey, how many episodes of Peter Puck do you think there are?
Oh, I'll say 12.
Nine.
Okay.
That's all there were. There were nine episodes of Peter Puck, and they played them again and again and again. That tells you how the attention span of people. But
you know what?
Only nine episodes of Peter Puck in the original one that was created in 1974, I believe. But Howie really had nothing to do with it. The thing was that there was an association. When NBC got their contract, they put Peter Puck on the air and put Howie on the air too. So there was a real belief that they were together, but they weren't.
All right. So he had a huge reputation for his hockey school as well, which emphasized skill and team play. I got to tell you, in terms of the Russian thing, or what was then the Soviet thing back then, Claire Drake was another guy that really valued a lot of sort of the fundamental Russian teaching skills in terms of how, you know, the team play and the five-man attack and how they kill penalties.
But Claire had been exposed to it on an international stage,
right,
greater than most NHLers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You worked with them. Sometimes you work with guys and they have big egos, and other times you work with guys, John, that want to share. And I've always found the best people in whatever they want to do share. What was Howie like to work with?
Ultimate team player. We used to have such a great time. He loved the fraternity of Hockey Night. He loved being that third team in every arena. Nobody got to the rink faster and had more fun. I remember days at the Coliseum where Howie would actually sit in the back in the videotape room with the operators and talk them through the highlights and watch with them and created a bond with people on the crew that they would have gone to war for Howie, and he made them feel very important, and that's what he did as a person. There wasn't a person he didn't meet that he didn't try to make feel important. He was an unbelievably positive person. They say he had a terrible temper at a certain point in his life. In fact, the legend is that he punched Stafford Smythe when he got fired as the coach of the Maple Leafs. But never in my time, in the 11 years that I worked with Howie, never did I hear him utter an angry word. I heard him laugh. I heard him have a great time. There was always a glint in his eye and a smile. Howie made it a treat to go to every Saturday night in Western Canada. He was a special, special guy, and in many ways, kind of faded away, and faded away too quickly, and didn't get the accolades that other people who left the show at a certain point, and whether it's Bob Cole or Don Cherry, he didn't get the accolades that he deserves for being a part of, you know, a couple of generations of Canadians and how they watched hockey.
I wonder how many other people just associate Howie Meeker with Peter Puck. I'm going to be intrigued to see it.
I saw it all on social media yesterday, and I'm going, what are you guys talking about? I have no clue what you're talking about, but, you know, you never know.
The other thing that he was, and this is something near and dear to Craig Simpson's heart, heavily involved, as well as Ron Francis, heavily involved in Special Olympics over the years as well.
Yes.
It's funny. I don't think people give him credit for the player he was. He was the rookie of the year. You mentioned that he played in multiple All-Star games, four-time Stanley Cup champion, scored five goals in one game, was the head coach. Actually, he was the fastest Leaf to score 25 goals before Austin Matthews.
Howie was a darn good hockey player. He was tenacious. Wasn't very big, you know, but at a time when size really wasn't a factor in hockey in the 50s, But he was tenacious. He attacked everything in life the same way, and that was at 100% every day.
Yeah, great stuff. Hey, John, thanks for shedding some insight on it very quickly. Just circling back, announcement today from Pfizer, 90% efficiency, I guess, in terms of the treatment with the virus. You heard the president's comments, president-elect's comments the other day. Does this have any effect at all on the NHL?
I think it's still way too early to know. I think that everybody in every walk of life was excited when they heard the word today, but I still think it's far too early to figure out. You can have a vaccine, but you have to learn how to distribute it for 300 million Americans and almost 40 million Canadians. So it's I think we're a long way from doing that.
Who are you taking between Alabama and LSU on Saturday? Alabama's favored by 22 points. LSU won the national championship last year.
I've always learned if it's 22 points, take the underdog. So I'm going to take Auburn. I'll take the 22 points and take Auburn.
LSU.
LSU. Sorry.
They're going to beat Auburn in a couple of weeks. John, we'll talk on Wednesday. Okay.
All right, Bob. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. That is John Shannon, 12:53 in Edmonton. We got a ton of texts to do. We'll be opening up the phone lines at 1 o'clock. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. Just going to catch up on some things right now as well. Do want to tell you that Roos Chris Steakhouse, the greatest steak you've ever had, Edmonton owned and operated, open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. Head down to 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Brendan, Maggie Taylor, and the staff at Roos Chris that Oilers now sent you. You heard John just mentioned Auburn there briefly. I made a mistake with Jack on Friday. I thought that Baltimore was playing Cincinnati. They were playing the Colts. This just shows you what I know. Anyhow, it's live radio. Sometimes stuff doesn't come across as in terms, hey, mistakes, factual errors. Factual errors are actually made? I did find the comments from Mike Zanier interesting. He thinks that Broberg is a 4-5-60. I'm going to tell you right now, based on what I saw in the Oilers' abbreviated training camp last year coming back from the stoppage, I have a high.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Higher ceiling for that, but Mike has seen him play more than me. We shall see in that regard. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Jajar Kara from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Where is he going to fit in this upcoming season? That'll be an interesting question. John Shannon was our Oilers Now headliner today for Touchback Safety. Your safety is their goal. Discover your safety training solutions at touchbacksafety.com. We are going to go to the Oilers Now audio vault for Direct Workwear, where safety meets savings. In Edmonton, Fort McMurray, and online at directworkwear.com. Reed Wilkins on Inside Sports had William Lagesson on his show Friday night. William was tied up during the course of the day. And Lagesson had this to say in his overall improvement last season.
I think I got some improving my offensive game a lot, and also just get some experience playing on small ice sheets, making quick decisions, and good positioning all over the ice. So I think those are the areas that I've been improving the most.
And Lagesson had these additional comments on the differences between playing on a smaller ice surface in North America or the bigger ice surface over in Sweden.
I think just to like do the make the right decision with the puck. You don't have that much time. You always have a guy pretty close to you. So with those small passes and quick decisions, I think that's the hardest part.
That is William Lagesson, who will compete, I think, against Evan Bouchard for the number 7 position on the Oilers' defense for the upcoming season. Many of you would say just put Bouchard in the minors. Try telling the player that. it's interesting. All right, let's get to NHL today for Elite Promotional Marketing. Drew Shamhorn and his staff at Elite Promotional Marketing. They have got face masks for everybody. Visit their online face mask shop by going to ElitePromoMarketing.com. Back in the 630 Chad Studios, here's Brendan Escott.
Well, just as we were on the air today, Rupe Hintz re-upped with Dallas 3 years at $3.15 million there. The 10th overall selection in last month's NHL draft, Cole Perfetti signed his ELC with Winnipeg this morning. That's an AAV of $1.66 million for Perfetti, who will join Hockey Canada's World Junior Selection Camp a little later this month. Nashville did the same with Luke Evangelista, the 42nd overall pick this year out of the London Knights program. Ulf Samuelsson joining the Florida Panthers as an assistant coach on Joel Quenneville's staff. He had been the head coach of Leksands of the Swedish League and was scouting for the Seattle Kraken as well. Previously, he has been an assistant with Arizona, the Rangers, and Chicago after his 16-year playing career. And we already mentioned the passing of legendary Maple Leaf and hockey analyst Howie Meeker, the age of 97.
It is 1 o'clock, off to a Global News Weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And then you at 780-496-0063 will open up the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. And you tell us about your thoughts about where the Oilers are at right now with their team. This is Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.